Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I am Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Friday morning. It's going to be a bit cooler than it has been, and that's okay. I'll take it. Look, it's Friday and I don't have my Grogu mug. What's wrong with me? This isn't even one of my mugs. It's actually my wife's mug because I made up her coffee in my mug, and I made up my coffee in her mug. Just mixed them up this morning. So, you know, we roll with it. I thought about actually pouring the coffee I mixed for her back in her. I was like, eh. That's too much work. Might make a mess. Just roll with it. I can drink out of this mug. It works. It holds coffee. Psalm 75. Psalm 75 is a Thanksgiving psalm of Asaph, and it's a powerful reminder to us of God's sovereignty over the nations, something that we need to hear regularly, especially in days such as these. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your truth, for your spirit, for your presence with us, for your power over us. Father, help us to trust in your sovereign rule over heaven and earth, over the nations. For the kings of the earth are held in your hands, and you are the one who lifts up and casts down. So help us to hear, listen, receive, and really write Psalm 75 on our hearts this morning, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 75. It is written to the choir master according to Do Not Destroy, which is probably the musical tune. There's a couple of psalms set to that same tune. It's a psalm of Asaph, and it is a song, which means it's for singing, which is pretty much all the psalms, but some of them are called songs. They're usually a little bit shorter. It's possible that they might have repeated sections of them over and over again, but we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. I remember singing a little praise chorus in college that had that part repeated several times. At the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. When the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars, Selah. I say to the boastful, do not boast, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with haughty neck. For not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup with foaming wine well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to the dregs. But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up. Amen. Amen. That's Psalm 75. As I said, it's a Thanksgiving psalm of Asaph. We don't know which Asaph wrote this or exactly when in the history of God's people this was written, but we know that it is a Thanksgiving psalm. Notice the reasons to give thanks. For your name is near. God's name is his revelation of himself and his character, his covenant faithfulness, his steadfast love, his unchanging holiness, his sovereign power. All that he has revealed about himself is in his name. And his name is near, near to his people, near for his people. And so we give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous deeds. One of the ways that we see that God's name is near his people is that we recount the wondrous things that he has done, the miraculous deliverances, the saving events that God has brought about for his people throughout history. Obviously, the most centrally important wondrous deed of God is the death and resurrection of Jesus, which atoned for all of our sins and overthrew death and hell forever as Jesus grabbed the keys to death and Hades to liberate his people from their tyranny. That is the supreme wondrous deed. But we can look at other wondrous deeds from Old Testament history of God's people and how God sent Joseph down into Egypt to prepare for all of his people to be protected, even though that meant being sold as a slave and betrayed. How God raised up David from following the sheep and tending over them, the least of the sons of Jesse, to be king over all of God's people, even though he had to spend years running from Saul, hiding for his life, right? So often when we recount the wondrous deeds of God, we see that God works in mysterious ways. God works in ways that are unexpected, unforeseen, unpredictable, irregular. And that should reassure us with confidence that when things look bad, when we think, oh, the world's falling apart, what's happening to the world, what's happening to our country, what's happening to people these days, it doesn't mean that God's not at work. It doesn't mean that God's not at work. He always is, and very often he brings his wondrous deeds about in the most unlikely of circumstances. God proclaims here, this is God speaking, he proclaims his sovereign judgment. He's the king, he's the ruler of the world, and he's the judge. He says, at the set time that I appoint, I will judge with equity. Ultimately, this happens when Jesus comes again on the day of the Lord, when the Lord judges all peoples and all nations and stand before the great white throne of judgment, as described in Revelation and elsewhere. But God also judges in history, when he lifts up and when he casts down. I love verse 3, when the earth totters and all its inhabitants, it is I who keep steady its pillars. Selah, which means stop and reflect on that. You ever feel like the earth is tottering? Things are just out of whack. Things are being shaken up. Things are upside down. Things are out of alignment. Right? You ever drive a car that's like out of alignment and you're struggling to keep it in a straight line and sometimes it'll shake? That's the way our world feels sometimes. Like things just aren't right. Things that should be obvious, that are morally true and right and good, are mocked, scoffed, disregarded. And things that are obviously unnatural, immoral, wicked, are exalted and celebrated. Why is our world so out of alignment? It's tottering. Its inhabitants are tottering, and yet the Lord keeps steady the earth, for it will be kept until that day, until that appointed day of judgment with equity. And as the Lord keeps steady the pillars of the earth, he says to the boastful, do not boast. And he says to the wicked, do not lift up your horn. Do not lift up your horn on high or speak with haughty neck. Just because you haven't met your judgment yet, just because God is still preserving this earth and keeping it for his purposes, don't think you're getting away with your evil. None of us should think that we could ever get away with mocking God, for God cannot be mocked. Whatever a man sows, he also reaps. And this is what Asaph tells us, for not from the east or from the west, and not from the wilderness comes lifting up, but it is God who executes judgment, putting down one and lifting up another. To this point, we're seeing much of what we saw in Psalm 74, and that is that the focus of this psalm is on the strength and power of God, and that's why it's the name God that's been used repeatedly. We give thanks to you, O God, and It is God who executes judgment. This is Elohim, the mighty one, the one who has all strength and power. But now we get the covenant name of the Lord. For in the hand of the Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am, unchanging, eternal, self-sufficient, unfailing one. In the hand of the Lord, there is a cup with foaming wine well mixed, and he pours out from it, and all the wicked of the earth shall drain it down to its dregs. This is the cup of judgment, the cup of judgment that the nations of the earth who have rebelled against God, that the wicked of the earth who do not know God and who hate God and deny God, will have to drink this cup of wrath on that day of judgment. Here's the good news for us. For us who believe in Jesus, for us who trust in the Lord, Jesus drank this cup for us. Remember how he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me." It's this cup that he was talking about. The cup of the wrath of God. Jesus drank it down to the dregs for all who believe in him, for all who trust in him, for all whose hearts are his. He drank it down. He drained the cup of God's wrath on the cross. And so for us who believe in him, for us who trust in him, for us who belong to him by faith, there is no more judgment, no more fearful expectation of judgment. But for the wicked, who continue to oppose and resist and deny and refuse God, that cup of judgment is still held in reserve for them. And so Psalm 75 concludes, "But I will declare it forever. I will sing praises to the God of Jacob." It's a wonderful promise. I love when God identifies himself as the God of Jacob, because Jacob was a rascal. He was a deceiver. He was a self-interested man who had to be confronted, challenged, wrestled, and changed by God. And I see myself in that. Don't you? So it's good news that God is the God of Jacob. "All the horns of the wicked I will cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be lifted up." All those who continue to oppose God and fight against him are going to be cut off from this earth, but God will lift up his own people. The horn of the righteous is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our King. A horn is a picture of authority and power. Who is our authority and power? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was lifted up upon the cross to die in our place, to become our King, and then he shall be lifted up when he comes again on that great day of judgment. And every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So this is a great psalm, isn't it? It's one that's short, and you might read over it very quickly and not see the wonderful, powerful truths of God that are there. But as we take time to slowly unpack, we see wonderful things here. God's name is near to his people. His wondrous deeds, as we recount them, we realize that God often doesn't work in ways that we expect. God is going to judge the earth, and until that time, he's keeping the earth steady. But that's not a reason for the wicked to boast. It's a reason for them to humble themselves and seek the Lord while he may be found. For it is God who is the sovereign judge over all things, and he has the cup of his wrath that he will pour out on the nations, but that Jesus has already drunk for his people. And so we can declare it forever and sing praises to the God of Jacob for his great power and love and faithfulness, and for the coming day of his judgment. So fear not, Christian. Fear not when the world seems out of control. It is not. God is on his throne. He is holding steady its pillars, and he will judge the nations. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the unfailing one. There is no one like you in heaven or on earth. You alone are the sovereign judge, the almighty King, the righteous and holy one. You alone reign and rule over the nations. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you took the cup of God's wrath for us in our place on the cross. We thank you that you drank it down so that we have nothing to fear from God. His holy wrath has been satisfied in you, Lord Jesus. And so we cling to you, and we say from the heart, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We long to see you. We long to see that day when evil will be put away forever, and we will be with you. Comfort us, strengthen us today with that hope. Anchor our souls with that promise. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this Sunday morning, we are back at the Knights of Columbus building, the Newport Terrace building on Newport Drive in Forest Hill. That's our regular meeting location where we met for 5 years before this thing called COVID happened. You may have heard of it. And so we're back. And we're hoping this is a permanent move back home. So we're calling this our homecoming gathered worship this Sunday morning at 10:30. It's going to be 10:30 this Sunday morning. And we hope you can come out and worship with us. We're looking forward to it, and we're excited to see what God will do. Have a blessed day in the Lord.